Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money
at Menards. Football at 4 here on The Drive with Tim Donnelly on 99.9 The Fan. Every day at 4, you can set your watch by it. We're talking about football. And today, we started it yesterday, a 10-day countdown. It's actually a 10-show countdown. Because it's 13 days away to the NFL draft.
Jeez, really?
Which I'm leery of doing doing live math on air because I've embarrassed myself that way.
It's okay.
But when it's a basic, it's the 25th. I know that is when the draft starts, okay. And today is the 12th. I think I can do that kind of subtraction. We're looking at 13 days away. We have 9 shows left until the NFL draft. So each day we are grabbing one position group for the Panthers and looking at where they stand, how they've improved this offseason, and if there is something that we can expect them to do at that position in the draft. Yesterday we did interior offensive line. Today, no one calls it the exterior offensive line. You just call it tackles.
Bookends.
But we're looking at the tackles, the exterior offensive line. The Panthers are, they could not be more different at right and left tackle. They're steady at right tackle. They're risky at left tackle. They are veteran, highly paid on one, rookie contract, highly drafted on the other. They are Taylor Moten at right tackle, Ikem Ekwonu at left tackle. So Taylor Moten being the steady Eddie, you know what you're going to get when he's healthy. You can depend on him. Ikem Ekwonu is the goodness. I hope this guy plays 110% better than he played a season ago. And if so, that can unlock new levels of the offense. If he plays like he did last year, even if you improve in other parts of the offense, you may not be able to see that, right? We've already seen them make improvements at wide receiver with Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson is getting open downfield, which would be a new thing for a wide receiver for the Panthers. But Bryce Young is on his back because Ikem Ekwonu whiffed on his blind side, then you just have an open wide receiver who's grading out well on film but not actually making any catches. So that's where they stand. That's, you know, the difference they've made this offseason is they signed Yosh Nyman as a backup swing tackle. So if one of them goes down, they're likely backed up by the same guy. The hard part, and I say this about really just two positions in the NFL, the hard part about finding elite tackles is that everyone is looking for elite tackles. There are not 32 elite blindside protectors on planet Earth at any given time. There are 32 teams that need one and 32 teams that want two. So if there is a team out there that has an elite right and left tackle, check it off. That's another one that there's another team out there that doesn't even have a blindside protector. So when it comes to looking at drafting tackles, what you have to acknowledge is this is a very deep tackle draft. If you listen to the experts, if you pay attention to the people that you trust that cover draft prospects, they'll tell you this is a very deep draft at wide receiver and offensive tackle. Everyone is looking for an elite offensive tackle. So if there's 12 of them that might be elite, there's going to be 12 drafted pretty darn quickly. So I'm leery to think that there's anyone, a plug and play, that'll be available even at 33, which is the first pick the Panthers have right now, the 33rd overall pick, the first pick of the second round. And even if there was, I'm not sure the Panthers don't have more pressing needs elsewhere to trump the need for a left tackle. So it's a deep tackle draft. I don't think they can justify taking one in the 33rd or 39th pick. Best thing they can do to help their team on the edges of the offensive line could be a lottery ticket at the end of the draft where you draft someone on measurables. You say they're 6'7", 3'10", and run a fast 40, even though their tape doesn't look great, and or vice versa. This is going to sound ridiculous, undersized at 6'4", 300, and have great tape. Like, you're finding somebody who everyone else is passing on for a reason, and you're hoping that that reason gets developed out of them over years. That, to me, isn't how the Panthers have been acting this offseason. The Panthers are not acting as if this upcoming year is a rebuilding year. They're kind of going for it. the Jadeveon Clowney signing is not one that's going to make them better in 2027. That's one that makes them better in 2025. All kind of up and down the defense, they've been making deals like that where it's, okay, this makes you better next year rather than 3-4 years into the future, rather than like, hey, by the time we're paying Bryce Young a bunch of money, we're going to need to be locked and loaded everywhere else. I don't see them changing their tackles very much between now and the beginning of training camp, which means this draft is going to be one where they have 7 picks, none in the first round. And there's a lot of, well, it could be a tackle, but it's not. And then the next one, well, it could be a tackle because it's a deep tackle draft and everyone's going to be talking about the best on the board, best available. And they're going to have to go with wide receivers. They're going to have to go with a tight end at some point. They're going to have to go with corners. They're going to have to go with safeties. And it's like, if you told me number 3 on their list for every pick was a tackle, where they're like, 2 or 3 picks before theirs. All right, number 1 is this guy if he makes it. Number 2 is this guy if he makes it. Number 3 might be a tackle on every single pick, and they might not take a tackle for the entirety of the NFL draft. It's for better or worse, the hay is in the barn, which means Ikem Ekwonu he's Atlas right now, right? He's those statues of Atlas with the whole world on his shoulders.
Yes.
It's the offense is either going to be significantly better than it was last year, because I like Dave Canales as a play caller. I already like their talent at wide receiver more, and I think they'll add 2 playmakers in the draft. Or it's going to be the exact same, despite everything I just said, because Ikem Ekwonu is holding them back at left tackle.
Show the success now, and I'm gonna add on to your argument and support it just a little bit more. So
I love this kind of add-on.
And this is the only way I can do it, because I'm hearing it and I'm leaning the way you're doing it. So the way Dave Canales and Dan Morgan have built this team, certainly with the signings in the offseason, what is the best contract in the NFL to have right now? It's having your quarterback on a rookie deal. So you're spending all the money in the next couple of seasons here, 2, 3, and 4, while your quarterback, as you think Dave Canales is the guy, and he told you, Bryce Young's my guy. We're going to work on the footwork. We're going to make sure that we bring in the 2 tackles, Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis, to give him that. I believe I kept calling it 0.4, the extra 0.4 seconds he needs to operate. We go get him a speedy receiver. We like what we've got coming back. We're going to spend all this money in years 2, 3, and 4, like you mentioned, to Jadeveon Clowney, to make that happen now, not 2 or 3 years from now, because he's 2 or 3 years older. Count on him being healthy and win in a division that everyone keeps going. It's not the greatest division in the history of divisions. There's been a lot of money spent, Tim, on quarterbacks in the NFC South, not on the other positions.
Exactly. I was just going to jump in when you said everybody keeps saying the division is bad. I said, well, if their last name's Mayfield, they think there's a pretty
big contender out there. Okay.
I mean, that's who won this past year, and I don't think anyone is afraid of the Bucs. At least you shouldn't be if you're an NFL anything, because I think they're gettable. And the Saints are having their own problems. Kirk Cousins with the Falcons might be the biggest kind of maybe this turns into something card. I was going to say wild card, but I have a hard time calling Kirk Cousins wild. So it's like the biggest boring card. You're exactly right. Right. You build up the whole thing and you can watch it happen in real time of the well-run organizations where you have your quarterback on a rookie contract. You pay a bunch of guys, a bunch of money around him that you're not paying the quarterback. Then once you pay the quarterback, you have to start taking things away one at a time, right? You have Patrick Mahomes on a rookie contract, and we'll use the Chiefs as the best run organization recently. They have the trophies to prove it. And you have Kelce, and you have Hill, and you have MVS, and you have a herd of running backs, even if they aren't great. A couple offensive linemen. Wiley is like a backup. Then you pay Patrick Mahomes a whole bunch of money. Take away Tyreek Hill. Can he still do it? Okay, what if we give him a 7th-round rookie running back? Can he still do it? That's Isaiah Pacheco. What if we take away Wiley as the backup offensive lineman? What if we take away this guy as the offensive lineman? Can he still do it? And, of course, every time Patrick Mahomes is asked, can he still do it, he said yes. But that's the life cycle. So right now the Panthers are in the part where he's supposed to have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster. And like he's supposed to have everything around him right now before you start seeing if he can't. The Panthers started him off with, what if we gave him nothing? Can he do it? And he went, no. Or kind of, I guess, would be the answer there. The interesting part is in this big spending spree, They spent interior offensive linemen, and they're going to spend wide receiver. We're pretty confident of that, at least in the draft. They didn't spend on left tackle, which the previous organization, previous regime, the Scott Fitter other side of it, they did on Ikem Ekwonu. So the bet, even by this new regime, is still on Ikem to be the guy. It's still, you know, and I said this on the air a couple days ago, you have to place your bet somewhere. You can't have a sure thing at every single position as much as you'd like to be. You'd have to place your bet somewhere. They're placing a pretty big bet on Ikem Ekwonu being much better, particularly in pass protection, because he's a road grader. He can move guys against their will in a directly back orientation, right? Like direction. That's run blocking. Pass protection, he's not as great, particularly the communication of it all. So they're making a pretty big bet that he's going to be able to make it happen. And I don't think they're going to give him help in a draft pick. I don't think they're going to give him a safety net.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. We're here with Coach Pete, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, let's hear about your power plan.
Well, Coach Pete's power plan, 22 steps to get you on the right direction for retirement. Also, make sure you have a successful, income-filled retirement. Tim, the next 10 people are going to give that away. No cost or obligation.
For the power plan, call 800-691-3215. You can also go ahead and text Tim to 600-700. The phone number, 800-691-3215, or text Tim to 600-700.
Pro athletes as podcast guests. Seems like you've had a bunch of them recently. I pay attention to your pod. How are they different? What have you learned about kind of the pro athlete world?
I mean, I think it's kind of, look, in any facet, any area of life where you have people on, whether they're actors, comedians, athletes, actors, musicians, there's just people that are going to be gifted at conversation, and then those that are not. And you've had them with you, and I've had them with me. And there's people who you're like, yeah, so, you know, tell me about when you got recruited. And they're like, yeah, it was fine. And you're like, all right, this is fun, man. So there's some that it's like you're pulling teeth to get it going. And then there's some that are just, they're just, you know, they have it. They just know how to tell stories. They know how to make it engaging. And it's just like you just never know. You never know until you step in the arena with them.
Would you name names on either side of that spectrum?
I'm trying to think. If you give me, because you might know the ones that like come to mind for you of who I've had on, because I've had so many guests. Sometimes I run into like, I mean, you know, I just did Bussin' with the Boys. I think they're great. Those guys mm-hmm. are, you know, Taylor Lewan, Will Compton. They get it. They obviously have their own podcast. They know how to make it exciting and interesting. Oh, I have a funny one. Like, I love AJ Hawk. He does Pat McAfee's show. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was like, hey, man, so you're like 22. You're a top five NFL draft pick. And all of a sudden you're a millionaire. Like, what are some of like the – like, what did you buy that was crazy at that age? And he was like, I got like mulch. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you know, like for like your trees and the grass. And I was like, is this a real answer? He was like, yeah, I just went and I bought it. I didn't even think about it. And I was like, okay, that's cool, man. Thanks. You know, I was like, I was expecting you to tell me about a car or something. He was like, no, I just buy mulch whenever I want. I was like, all right, that's very exciting.
This is a fantastic conversation for me, because now I know that you're aware that, you know, you kind of control how entertaining the answers are. So I can throw anything at you and you're basically saying, I'm not going to give you a mulch answer. So we'll go next with a dream podcast guest from the sports world, right? If somebody who you think won't give you the mulch answer.
Well, I mean, there's so many, like, I've always wanted to have Pac-Man on because he has a wild, you know, like history. And I feel like, and he also is good on a mic. He's good on a mic. So I would want to hear, you know, crazy stories about that. Living in Austin, I've connected a few times, but never been able to book Ricky Williams. Cause I also feel like it's gotta be, I'm really most interested in hearing about what it's like to be that caliber player in college. I just feel like I love college football. And can you imagine being on campus in Austin while you're having the season he had, like it as a Heisman, like it's just, that has to be crazy to me. That's the stuff that I'm most interested in. I also think Garnett, I've seen him on a dozen podcasts. He's unreal. as a podcast guest or host. So I would love to have one with Garnett. I've podcasted a little bit with Tyson. I would love to do that again. You know, as a, somebody that grew up in the 80s and 90s, I mean, I've never seen him really do a podcast, but I'm obviously like a huge Jordan fan. So he would be one that I would love to, like, you know, give him a little bit of extra wine, some cigars, and just see if I could get him to talk a lot of trash. I mean, trash talking is the best.
Tom Segura, comedian. He has a show on Sunday at PNC Arena coming to the area. You can also check out his podcast, Two Bears, One Cave, with Bert Kreischer. You bring up Tyson. I wanted to ask you this. Are you terrified when you're on stage doing your Tyson impression? Because I've heard you do it a bunch. Knowing that, like, Tyson is going to hear it and you don't know if he's going to like it or not. And then if you're ever in the same room together, it's like, who knows how this is going to go?
I mean, I haven't done that story in years because it used to be in the act, and then the special came out. And so when the special comes out, I always drop the material from it. I remember when I was touring with that, I was like, I wonder if he is not cool with this. And then I ran into him, and I always get scared a little bit. Just, I've run into him a few times, and I always feel fear, like, when I start talking.
That's
to
appropriate.
Him. Yeah, and he brought it up. He was like, you know, people say all the time, is that true? And it is true. So I was like, oh, yeah, it is true. And then as soon as I saw that he was amused by it, I felt way looser about it. But in general, yeah, I didn't know whether the last thing you want, because a lot of times when you tell stories about anyone, you kind of wonder, like, oh, are they cool with this? Are they okay with me doing this? But he seemed to be totally fine with it. So I was like, all right, Tyson's cool with it. I can do it.
Have you ever told a story or done an impression and learned that they weren't cool with it?
I mean, there isn't one that really comes to mind where I go, I find out someone was cool with it, not cool with it. But, you know, there's always just a hint of hesitation. Like, I wrote these stories about how I kept getting seated on flights next to famous people. And so I wrote those stories in my book. And I had, like, you know, there's a story about Tyson, which at that point was known. Method Man, you know, from Wu-Tang Clan. I wrote a story about him. How I flew next to Serena. Serena's the one, oh my God, this was hilarious. So I flew with Serena Williams like 10 years ago, and I talked to her the whole flight. And at one point, you know, she was like, well, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I'm a comedian. And she's like, is there anywhere I can see your stuff? And at the time I had one special out, the first special called Completely Normal. So I write it down on a piece of paper for her, and I go, here you go. You can see this, it's on Netflix. And then I get off the plane, and as I'm walking off the plane, I just feel like a cold sweat hit me. And I realized, and I really did not realize this when I was telling her, that in that special, I talk about how cool, like a fantasy about having sex with her and her sister, like a threesome with them would be. And I'm like, oh my God, I just told her to go check that out. Like, I just told her, go watch me talk about you and your sister and having like a racket involved and everything. And like, I was like, oh my God. And then years later, actually it was like 2021, I'm doing a special charity event at Madison Square Garden. And when I get off stage, around the corner, I'm going to the reception for it, like the after party. It's Serena Williams and her husband. And I stop two of them, and I'm a little high because Pete Davidson was smoking weed in the tunnel, and I took a few hits.
As you do.
And I start telling them the story. I tell them the story about this. And the husband was like ear to ear smiling, and she looked so unamused. She was just like, okay. And I go, yeah, so that's the story. And then she's like, where's the bar? Like, that's what she said at the end of this whole story. She's like, where's the bar? And I go, it's over there. And she just walked away. I was like, that's somebody who I don't think is that amused with this. Yeah, she didn't seem to find it funny at all.
Well, and you know, I'm thinking everyone acted exactly as they should in that whole interaction. You had her listen to it. She wasn't jacked about it. The husband thought it was funny. I think everyone comes out all right.
Everyone comes out all right.
From the famous interactions to maybe some more down home interactions. According to your Wikipedia, you're a Lenore Ryan guy, which is obviously right here in North Carolina. You have a bunch of college buddies coming to the show on Sunday?
Furniture Capital, baby. I got some college friends coming out to that show. I had a great time there. You know, it's a small town. I had no idea that school existed. Some people don't know the reason that I went there, because they're like, how'd you end up at Lenoir Ryan? I'm like, that was the only school I got into. So that's why I went there. I graduated high school with a very low GPA, and Lenoir Ryan was like, good enough for us. And so I went there.
How does that change it? Because, like, I imagine you know when, like a super-duper celebrity is in the crowd. But I'd almost think it would be, like, more difficult to keep the set the same or stop giggling if you know you have, like, your freshman year dorm mate there, like watching. What is that experience like being in PNC is a massive arena, but you know, like, you know, the six guys you got drunk with your freshman year there?
I don't know. You know, it doesn't really affect me that much, other than you just kind of go, oh, I hope this is a good show. Like, there's always this thing, and I think when you do live performance, especially stand-up, like your whole career, whenever it's like, hey, you like, because I'm not somebody that invites people to every show, but like whenever you go, they go, oh, you know, an agent is coming, or the director of this movie is going to be there. Part of your brain like goes like, I wonder if this show's going to suck, because it happens, right? Like it happens when you're in LA and they go, the director of the movie is here. You're like, great. And then you have just like a totally sideways show that sucks. So you kind of just want, obviously you want your friends or people you invite to go to shows that are like, you know, gangbust, like rocket, like just totally out of this world shows. And almost every time you'll be like, that was weird. And that's the show you have friends at. So you just hope that it's a good one.
Does that happen in arenas? Do you still have like off shows when people, like, I imagine going into PNC Arena, it's a big arena. Everyone's there. It's like the warmest room ever, because we're just there to have a great time. Do you still have off shows at this point in your career?
I mean, you know, what's funny is that somebody pointed this out to me once, how it's off in that it's, you know, it's off. It's not off in that everybody in the audience knows that this is off. Like, they don't know, because their reference is probably that show. So it can be very mediocre, and people at a mediocre, even arena show, will leave going like, well, that was great. It's like, yeah, but I've done 100 of these, so I know that it sucked. Like, it's that I know, you know, like I've done these where you just kind of, there's always this tell in arena shows, which is there's a mic backstage, they call it the VOG, right? The Voice of God mic. It's the one you turn on and then they just hear your voice. And every time you turn on that mic at any show and you go like, what's going on, Raleigh? And you hear that, they're hearing your voice. So it's that first pop. That pop a lot of times dictates what level show it's going to be. Like if you go, what's going on? And you just hear like some mild applause. We always look at each other like, oh boy, this is not going to be as fun. But when you hear them explode, you go, okay, because it's an energy thing. That's the whole thing, that whether it's a club, a theater, or an arena, it's a transfer of energy. You're putting something out, which is like your performance, and they're giving something back. So when it's hot for them, it becomes, you kind of become better. You know, you guys become sort of one thing together, you and the audience.
Tom Segura, stand-up comedian. Tom, last thing before we let you go, and thank you for taking so much time to chat with us, and we're looking forward to you coming to the area on Sunday. We had a member of the NC State men's basketball team who just took the world by storm on the show earlier today, and we ended with this question, and it was kind of fun, and it's probably more interesting or more apt for somebody that's having their college career come to an end. But what's next for you? It seems like you've done so much, right? You're on an arena tour, you've done the TV thing, you have the podcast. What's next for Tom Segura?
Well, earlier this week, it got announced, I have a new series coming to Netflix, which is a scripted series. So that's the first time I'm doing that, where we're doing a 6-episode series. We'll probably be getting the writer's room in May, and we'll probably be shooting in October, and then it'll come out in 2025. And I'm super excited to do that. It's a pretty, you know, crazy show where we have very dark, twisted stories in it, and that's my favorite kind of stuff. So I'm just excited that I get to do it. But yeah, that's the next big thing on my calendar.
Tom, we appreciate you for taking the time, and good luck. Hopefully you get a good pop and it's a good show on Sunday in Raleigh, even if we don't know the difference.
Fingers crossed, baby. I can't wait.
Once again, that is Tom Segura, stand-up comedian, coming to PNC on Sunday. Check out his podcast, Two Bears, One Cave, with Bert Kreischer as well. And all of that took place on the Heister Automotive Group hotline.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.